You are listening to Lee's Lieutenants, Singapore's Old Guard, revised edition, edited by Kevin Y.L. Tan and Lam Peng Er, and narrated by me, Chris Alexander. Introduction. Lam Peng Er and Kevin Y.L. Tan. I am the captain of the team. Whether we score a resounding success did not depend on the captain alone. Each member of the team has a decisive role to play. Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew, Straits Times, 14th of June, 1959. Harry Lee has been and remains one of the most distinguished leaders of the last half century. He was fortunate in being supported by a group of ministers of extraordinary ability, who would have graced the cabinet room of any major country. Former Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser, Straits Times, 7th of August, 1998. But the past performance and the future of Singapore did not and cannot depend only on good captainship. For the best of captains is doomed to futility and failure if his team happens to be unequal and poor in motivation, response, and performance. The team included not only Mr. Lee's colleagues in government and party, and the public servants who supervise or execute public policies and programs in various fields, but also the working people of Singapore at all levels. Straits Times, 17th of September, 1993. Lee Kuan Yew, let me acknowledge with pride, was the superb captain of a superb team. But like all the best captains at the end of the game, they come to believe that they have scored all the goals themselves. Former President of Singapore, Devan Nair, Straits Times, 29th of May, 1988. The Paradox of Singapore. Conventional liberal democratic political theory postulates that an affluent society with a large middle class is the most conducive environment for the emergence of a liberal democratic polity. The case of Singapore runs completely against this hypothesis. It has become the richest among the East Asian newly industrialized economies, or NIE. In terms of per capita GNP, the country was the fourth wealthiest in the world in 1997. Yet, Singapore has a rich state with an illiberal regime. While opposition parties exist and compete in elections, the ruling regime does not tolerate their effectiveness, and it deems autonomous interest groups and an unbridled mass media unsuitable for Singapore. In the aftermath of the Cold War, Francis Fukuyama argues that the collapse of Marxist regimes in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union resulted in the absence of any viable ideological challenges to Western liberal democracy. He glibly hails the final triumph of liberal democracy as the end of history. Such a prognosis is premature. The Singapore case clearly demonstrates that, in the foreseeable future, systems of government that do not subscribe to the norms of liberal democracy will coexist with those that do. The Singapore political leadership has, in fact, proclaimed its alternative brand of Asian democracy, which stresses the interests of the community rather than those of the individual, and which promotes political consensus instead of competition. Singaporean leaders believe that an activist and autonomous state, which stands above sectional class, occupational and ethnic interests, is preferable to a passive state that condones parochial interests. Leaders in such a system must be held accountable to voters, and this is done by obtaining their mandate to rule in regular, open, and clean elections. But the masses are expected to accord respect to these benevolent leaders once elected,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?